Well, I think it's fair to say that every parent wants the best for his or her children, don't they? It's our natural instinct as parents to want to give our children the best possible things in life. Best education, the happiest home, the best healthcare, the healthiest diet, and so on and so forth. And unsurprisingly, things were just the same 2,000 years ago. Parents' love for their children has changed little over the centuries. Just like loving parents today, Jewish mums and dads in the time of Jesus wanted the best for their children. And so in particular, they would seek out rabbis and respected elders in their community, and they would ask them to pray for God's blessing upon their young children. And it's no surprise, therefore, that in our reading from Mark this morning, we see parents bringing children to Jesus to receive a blessing from him. It's clear that by this stage of his ministry, Jesus had become well known as a man of God. He was known across the community as a powerful preacher and indeed an amazing healer. He was certainly someone you'd want your child to be blessed by. But as any parent will tell you, so often in life our best intentions for our children can be frustrated. Obstacles and challenges can crop up. There may be no space left in the local school. We may lack the money to buy the latest toys for our offspring. We may struggle to give the kids quality time during our busy working week, and so on and so forth. And similarly, the parents in our reading today from Mark also faced an obstacle. Their good intentions for their children were frustrated, at least initially. You see, Jesus' disciples were getting in the way of those parents' efforts to bring their children to Jesus. We're told that the disciples were rebuking the parents and blocking their children's path to Christ. It seems that Jesus' disciples believed that their master was either too busy, too important, or simply too tired to give his time to these insignificant little children. Or so they thought. Because those disciples were seriously mistaken in their attempts to get between the children and Jesus. They were very wrong about the worth of children in the eyes of Christ. They were ignorant of the importance, too, of being like a child before God. Because we see in our passage today, I think, not only the value of children to Christ, but also the value of anyone of any age being childlike before God. And we'll look at both of those things, but let me just pray before I go any further. Lord Jesus, please do speak to us through this passage today, and may your Holy Spirit apply it to our lives and minds and hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, firstly then, this passage, I think, shows us the value of children to Christ. Verse 14 of our passage tells us that Jesus was indignant, no less, when he saw his disciples' obstructive behaviour. Indignant is a strong word, isn't it? A word that expresses a combination of anger and frustration. It expresses the emotion that Jesus felt towards his disciples' behaviour and their attempts to stop children being brought to him. "Let the children come to me," he said, "and do not hinder them," he tells his disciples. Then we're told he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. And by those words and actions, Jesus was showing his followers, both then and now, that he values children and wants them to meet with him. And I believe Christ wants us to have the same attitude to children in our own family and into our own church congregation. We are to value them and welcome them. Now, such a positive attitude towards children was very countercultural in the ancient world. Children were very much to be seen and not heard, even more than in the Victorian era. Children had little or no social status in the time of Jesus, and they were often regarded as insignificant and useless to society until they reached working age. But Jesus, of course, was different. He recognized these children as people made in the image of God, people who had intrinsic value despite their tender years. Jesus saw in these children people who mattered to him and his heavenly Father, whether they were economically productive or not. Jesus saw them as people made in the image of God, with value in God's eyes, even if others overlooked them. In fact, throughout his earthly ministry, as we read the Gospels, we see that Jesus always gave time to the marginalised and insignificant in his society. He showed God's love for people whom society generally looked down on or simply looked over. Jesus spent time, didn't he, with tax collectors, prostitutes, the sick, the poor, Samaritans, and many more. All these people, as well as children, mattered to God and mattered to his Son when he walked on earth. And so today, the application is obvious, isn't it? We must have the same loving attitude towards children as Jesus did. And it should be our ambition, whether as parents or simply as church members, to point our young people to the Lord Jesus. It's great that at St. Michael's we have a large and growing ministry to children. We have activities for children that enable them to encounter Christ for themselves. Activities like Fresh Little Angels and Sunday School. And I know some of you are involved in those activities. Thank you for the part you play in running them. I hope as parents, or indeed as grandparents, our greatest ambition for our children or grandchildren is for them to come and know the Lord Jesus for themselves. I hope our heartfelt desire is for our young people to become faithful followers of Jesus. Certainly in my own home, Helen and I do our best to take time to pray with our children, to take them along to Sunday school, and to share Bible stories with them. More generally, as a church family, let's seek to become ever more welcoming to people whom our non-Christian peers might be tempted to look down on or ignore. So not just children, but can I challenge us all to befriend members of our congregation who are different to ourselves, to share fellowship with people whom we might not otherwise want to spend time with. You see, Jesus gave quality time to children and to others low on the social ladder. And surely, so should we. You see, whenever we give time to people who are unimpressive or insignificant in the world's eyes, we are imitating Jesus and adopting the mindset of Christ. Well then, if the first lesson of our passage is to see the value of children, then the second is to see the value of being childlike in the eyes of God. Because in verse 15 of our reading, Jesus gives his disciples a serious warning, doesn't he? He says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Now that's just a single solitary sentence, but it's one we need to carefully unpack and understand, I think. What does Jesus mean when he talks about receiving and entering the kingdom of God? And in what way do we need to be childlike before God? Surely he can't mean that we need to be immature and infantile in our behaviour. Jesus can't possibly be saying that we need to have tantrums, wear a nappy or use a dummy. But what does he mean for adults? How can an adult be childlike? In what sense should an adult be childlike before God? And how does that qualify us for entry into God's kingdom? Well, firstly, we do need to be clear about what it means to receive and enter God's kingdom. Whole books have been written about what the kingdom of God is really about. But in short, to enter God's kingdom is to submit yourself to the rule of Jesus over your life. To enter the kingdom of God is to make Jesus your saviour, your Lord, and yes, indeed, your King. So what's all this got to do with being childlike? Well, one thing common to all young children is that they are utterly dependent on their parents, aren't they? Especially their mothers. As I know from personal experience, the very youngest infants are utterly dependent on their mum and dad for their every need, aren't they? For food, for drink, for clothing, for cleaning, for their very survival. Children are dependent on their parents. And in a similar way, to enter the kingdom of God, we need to acknowledge our utter dependence on God, our utter helplessness without his grace. As adults, we need to be humble and honest enough to realise that we can't force our way into God's good books. We can't earn his forgiveness or merit his favour. We can't put him in our debt in any way. The only way to receive the kingdom of God, the only way to become a follower of Jesus, is to receive his grace as a free and undeserved gift. We need to receive it with open hands, like a child receives gifts from his or her parents. The only way for anyone to become a Christian, to enter God's kingdom, is to humbly admit our guilt before God and ask his forgiveness, his free forgiveness, for Jesus' sake. You see, a proud person can never enter the kingdom of God. You see, a proud person, someone who thinks that they are self-sufficient and autonomous, will never make Jesus the king of their lives. They're quite happy to seize the crown for themselves. A proud person, someone who thinks they are good enough for God, will never come to Christ for forgiveness. And someone who thinks they have enough power, worth, wealth and health of their own will never acknowledge their dependence on God for every moment of their waking lives. You see, only a humble person will receive the kingdom of God as a gift. Only someone with a childlike sense of their utter dependence on God will make Jesus their Saviour, Lord and King. So as I finish this morning, I hope we've seen the value of children to Christ. They matter to him and they should matter to us. As adult Christians, it's our responsibility to care for children and any marginalised in society and seek to bring them to know and love the Lord Jesus. But as adults, we can learn something from children in return as well. As we see their dependence on us for their basic needs, we should be reminded that we should have the same dependence on God for our spiritual needs. Every good thing in life that we enjoy comes from God, including, indeed, especially our salvation. And it's something to be received with gratitude and thanks. Just as I hope children today are saying thank you to their mums. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for inviting us to be your children, welcoming us into your family. Help us to be childlike in dependence on you and Christ-like in our obedience and humility. In his name we pray. Amen.